Now white titles appear on a light blue field. Touchstone Pictures presents, in association with Silver Screen Partners 3, a Jean-François Le Petit Interscope Communications Incorporated production, a Leonard Nimoy film. Tom Selleck, Steve Guttenberg, and Ted Danson in Three Men and a Baby. Now, at a slightly exaggerated speed, a man paints a mural in a sunny foyer. Wearing dungaree overalls and a plaid shirt, the curly, dark-haired painter checks a sketch. A door opens, and another man steps out with a pretty blonde woman. His thick brown hair is brushed carefully back from his face, and he wears a puffy-sleeved, light blue shirt. The painter shakes the woman's hand, then cleans it off, smiling. The woman and the lanky brown-haired man hug. An elevator door opens, and she steps in, blowing him a kiss. He flaps his hand over his heart as the doors close. Turning, he slaps hands with a painter who mouthed the word, beautiful. Now on a patio, a tall, beefy man with dark hair and a mustache teases a dark-haired woman in a business suit as she tries to spread cement on a wall. Now in the elevator, the painter grins as he returns a pair of stockings to a curly-haired blonde woman. They kiss, and he goes into the apartment, yanking his fist in a gesture of triumph. More titles appear, with Margaret Cullen and Celeste Holm, co-starring Nancy Travis, Philip Bosco, Paul Guilfoyle, and Cynthia Harris. Inside the apartment, the painter polishes a brass plaque and unveils it to the tall mustached man. It reads, "Designed by Peter Mitchell, Architect." The mustached Peter reads it through round wire-rimmed glasses and grins brightly. In the foyer, the lanky brown-haired man meets a studious-looking woman and shakes her hand. The door closes, then reopens later. The woman's hair hangs loose as the man, now in a robe, dances her out the door. He gives her a deep, sensual kiss. With a dramatic turn of the head, he goes back inside, and more titles appear. Casting by Diane Crittenden. Music by Marvin Hamlisch. Edited by Michael A. Stevenson, ACE. Production designer, Peter Larkin. Director of photography, Adam Greenberg. In a tank top and shorts, Peter jogs along a sidewalk. A woman runs by, and he turns around to follow her. They chat, then jog away together. Later, in his apartment, she waits with wet hair as Peter appears, also with wet hair, and hands her a sweatband. They kiss goodbye, and he waves, and goes inside. As the elevator closes, she pats her heart and exhales through puckered lips. Now, a red-haired woman storms out of the apartment and slams the elevator button. As she paces, the lanky brown-haired man peeks out at her. She raises a fist, and he retreats. The elevator opens. Peter steps out. The woman slugs him in the stomach and steps in. More titles. Executive producer Jean-François Le Petit. Based on Trois Hommes et un Couffin, written by Colleen Sereau. Now, Peter and the brown-haired man join the painter in the foyer. As he puts the finishing touches on his mural, they hand him a sign that reads, "Mural by Michael Kellum." All three pose beside tuxedoed caricatures of themselves. They toast with champagne, and our view glides over the finished mural. Flowing Art Deco lines fill the white background, splashed with yellow, pink, and light blue. Women dancing the can-can form an arch over the apartment door with their kicking legs. The three men ride in a long black limo, and on the elevator door, three women wear fur-colored coats. More titles. Screenplay by James Orr and Jim Cruikshank. Produced by Ted Field and Robert W. Court. Directed by Leonard Nimoy. Now Michael points a video camera at himself.
Welcome to another edition of Lifestyles of the Average and Anxious. We move about the apartment of Peter Mitchell, young architect about town. It's his late 30s, or is it his early 40s? We'll never know. Birthday party! Entranced by the euphoria and ease, these glamorous people exude. I think I spy the birthday boy himself, Peter! How are you, old chum? You're looking so well, so well. Over here is his semi-main squeeze, Rebecca Davidson. The public wants to know what an attractive, witty, successful woman sees in a bozo like my roommate?
Well, he's charming, he's sweet, he's very thoughtful. He's sort of boyishly handsome, but he has got the most amazing...
She grabs Michael's crotch.
Thank you, Rebecca!
You're welcome, Michael.
So, Peter, tell me, are you and Rebecca still exclusive?
Me and Rebecca?
Yeah.
No, we both see other people.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
A lot.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Bye, Vanessa.
Bye.
Hey, birthday boy.
Oh, hi, Adam.
Rebecca's looking sexier than ever.
Yeah.
You two still together?
Oh, yeah. Me and Rebecca for 5 years now. Tight. Tight as ever. Oh.
Across the room, the lanky, brown-haired roommate bops near a jukebox. In a red velvet smoking jacket, he spins and sees a tall black man.
Gene!
Yeah, baby?
Remember the Young Rascals? What happened to them?
Man, they're old.
No, I don't say that.
Real old!
I think one of them's a senator now.
Ducking away, he bumps into a man in a white jacket.
Yeah, can I talk to you for a minute?
Oh, I'm serious. I'm not doing commercials anymore. Really, no more talking T-bones or cowboys with heartburn. I'm only doing serious stuff now.
Hi, Jack.
Whew, Angela. Whew. Oh, you look different. What happened?
I'm dressed.
That's it.
Leaving a curvaceous woman in a tight blue dress, Jack moves through the mob department. Among the dancing party guests, Jack, Michael, and Peter meet up. Jack looks through several small bits of paper in his hands.
Gentlemen, I'm in love.
You?
Yeah. In a generic sense.
Right.
Oh, my. Oh, so many women.
So little time.
Later, Jack and Peter walk through the crowd.
So, Jack.
Yeah, what's up?
You're not really going to do this movie in Turkey, are you?
Yes, I am. Matter of fact, I leave in a few short hours here.
What is it? Zaman the Beautician?
Barbarian.
Zaman the Barbarian. I didn't say that.
Okay, now what about the play in Soho, the one you said you wanted to do? You said it was a chance. Excuse me. You said it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
What do you want? My inevitably brilliant reviews or next month's rent?
Forget about next month's rent. I'll cover you. You do the play.
That's sweet of you. You know, you are a very decent man, Peter. I'm a goddamn saint.
Saint's a little bit much.
Now Michael in his bedroom.
Hey, how's it going, baby? Name's Johnny. Give me 5. Oh, I mean, give me 3.
He holds a tiger puppet with shades and a yellow beret.
I can't believe you draw Johnny cool. Coolest cat in the world, right?
No one cooler, baby.
I can't believe it. Makes me so happy.
What's wrong?
This is David.
The guy you broke up with?
The good-looking one. Incredibly good-looking. He used to treat me Johnny Cool every morning over breakfast.
Panels from his comic strip cover Michael's walls.
You know how to get over a lover?
He stands up.
Dance with a stranger.
Biting his lower lip, he starts to sway.
Oh, Damon's an incredible dancer. He's studied for 3 years with the Joffrey Ballet.
3 years? Joffrey Ballet?
She looks up at him with big brown eyes.
I think you guys are going to get back together.
You think that I can call him up and invite him to the party?
He nods queasily. Jack boogies on the dance floor.
Win!
2 women in matching dresses join him.
There it is.
In another room, Peter shows a basketball videotape.
Yeah.
Arguably one of the best clutch shots of all time. Forget the guys playing today. Nobody played this game better than Reed, West, Chamberlain, Baylor. I'll run it for you again in slow motion.
Rebecca enters.
People are asking for you. Come on, let's go mingle.
I hate that word. It sounds like something sea lions do before they mate.
You are the guest of honor and they love you.
Of course they do, but these guys need me in here. Don't you need me in here?
Well,
guys?
Yeah. Bring your money.
On screen, a player throws up a half-court shot.
Wait, there it is. Undoubtedly, the greatest clutch shot in basketball history.
In
slow motion.
Best.
In the thick of the party, the man in the white jacket approaches Jack.
Paul Whaley, listen, man. You are my friend. You're a great director, but I am not doing commercials ever again.
I don't want you to do a commercial. I need a favor.
Oh, yeah, all right, shoot. What?
I'm having a package delivered tomorrow. I won't be home to get it. I got to go up to San Francisco all week on a commercial shoot.
You're going to shoot in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Who you use?
Len Peters.
Lenny. Mm-hmm.
What's wrong? Did you like my last dog food commercial?
Oh, Jack.
That was a classic. But now, look, I was hoping that I could have this package delivered here instead.
Sure, no problem. No problem. Listen, let me ask you something here. Do you think I'm overexposed?
Overexposed? Oh, no, Jack, not at all. Now, look, it'll be delivered tomorrow and picked up by a couple of guys on Thursday morning. That's all there is to it.
All right, tomorrow, pick up Thursday.
Okay, but this is a very delicate matter, Jack, so don't mention it to anybody, all right?
All right, all right. Delicate.
Later, Jack wheels in a cake.
Happy birthday, dear Peter.
Shaped like a skyscraper construction site, a tall, lighted crane projects out of its center. In a red blouse and a black leather skirt, Rebecca claps across from the three roommates.
First of all, I want to thank Jack and Michael and Rebecca for embarrassing me with this unending flow of sentiment.
Rebecca mimes a kiss.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, all right, all right.
Later, the caterers pull plates from the dishwasher and pack glasses into wooden crates.
I think everybody had a great time. Don't you?
I sure did.
Peter corners Rebecca at the front door and leans in close.
Why don't you stick around a while?
I thought sentiment made you uncomfortable.
She smiles as he kisses her neck.
I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's disguised as sex. So stay tonight.
Resting her head against the door jamb, she stares deeply into Peter's eyes.
I can't. I have to be up at 7 for a pre-trial meeting.
Yeah.
She nods.
Yeah.
Ducking out from under his arm, she crosses to the elevator. Peter follows and catches her arm, enfolding her in a warm hug.
Happy birthday, Peter.
Yeah, right.
She steps into the elevator.
It was a great party.
He leans in for one last kiss. She pushes him away as the door closes. He turns, then stares longingly at the door. Later, in the kitchen with Michael.
You know, in this light, you're kind of ugly. And that buttermill in your forehead, getting out of hand.
Yeah.
Out of hand.
How come that always happens to you?
What?
Well, as soon as you get a woman into your room, you turn into her big brother and start solving her problems.
Well, unlike yourself and our sexually insatiable roommate, I happen to be a sensitive guy, and I have more on my mind than simply pronging chicks.
Hey, guys. Say, what's a good year for pronging chicks?
The 82 Bordeaux on the left works every time.
Thank you very much.
Jack grabs a bottle of wine.
What happened here? Somebody die?
Rebecca left early.
Michael saved another doomed relationship.
Post-party depression. Listen, you guys, you know, I'm out of here tomorrow for 10 weeks. What do you say I get rid of Charisse? No. The three of us hunker down here with a bottle of wine and shoot some pool.
I got a better idea. Why don't you two guys hunker down, shoot some pool?
No.
Why don't you just go and have a good time?
Oh, yeah, enjoy yourself. Oh, God, it's a tough job. It's got to be done.
He's unbelievable.
The man is one giant gland.
The next morning, a woman in a leopard-patterned jumpsuit peeks into the hallway.
Jack!
Peter works out on a rowing
Jack.
Machine.
Jack!
He left our aceries.
Hey, hi, thanks.
I think
Michael,
you took my moves.
That's our boy.
Thanks, Peter. See you around.
Yeah.
Hi, it's me, Jack. I'm at the airport. I'm about to board the plane, but I forgot to tell you something. There's a package going to be delivered today. Some guys will pick it up Thursday before noon. Just put it aside. Don't worry about it. And, oh, wait a minute. It's a very delicate matter, so don't say anything to anybody, okay? I'll bring you guys something back from Turkey if you could. Maybe a drumstick or something. See you later. Bye-bye.
Peter pauses to shake his head, then continues rowing. Later, he jogs across a sunny New York City street and waves to the doorman as he enters the apartment building.
Hi, Harry.
Morning, sir.
As the elevator opens in front of the apartment, Peter crouches to tie his sneaker. At the same time, he reads a newspaper on the floor. Picking it up, he crosses to the door and goes in. Our view glides downward to a lace-covered basket on the floor. Peeking outside, Peter stares at it.
Michael! Michael, get out here!
What is it?
Just get out here.
From inside the apartment, Peter cracks the door open and peeks out. Michael emerges from his room, ties his robe, and rubs his eyes.
What?
Peter gives him a good-humored smile.
What's going on? I don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay. Just look out in the hall.
Michael squints through the peephole.
Yeah?
Just look out in the hall.
Okay.
Michael opens the door. In the basket, a tiny baby wears a white lace bonnet.
That's a baby.
Oh, I know it's a baby. What's it doing there?
It's sleeping.
Oh, okay. Who do you suppose it belongs to?
Oh, Peter. There's a little note.
All right, I'll just go in.
Okay, play along.
Crouching, Michael takes an envelope from the basket.
Dear Jack, here is our baby. Oh, no.
You really don't know anything about this?
I knew it. I knew it. I knew this was going to happen to him sooner or later.
I can't handle this mm-hmm. now. I don't know where else to turn.
Mm-hmm, right.
Someday I hope you can both forgive me.
Unbelievable.
Her name is Mary.
Who's mm-hmm. Sylvia?
Who's Sylvia?
How am I supposed to know? You have to be a social secretary to keep track of all those women.
He left a message about a package. He said it'd be delivered today. He said to put it aside, not to worry about it.
He said that about a baby?
I'd say he takes his procreation business a little lightly.
So what are we supposed to do about this?
I'll pick it up.
You pick it up?
I'm not picking it up.
You found it. Look, we gotta do something. One of us has to pick it up.
Well, it's not gonna be me.
Bending down, they each take a handle on the basket, shuffle it into the living room, and lay it on a coffee table.
Now what? I don't know anything about taking care of babies.
Well, neither do I.
Look, we gotta do something.
Be my guest.
Hey, it's not my responsibility.
It's not mine either.
Don't yell at me, Peter.
Well, it can't be that difficult. All we gotta do is feed it. It'll shut up.
Well, I don't know what babies eat.
Soft stuff. I mean, we were babies once, for God's sakes. What did we eat?
I don't know. It couldn't have been very good. I can't remember.
Wagging a finger in realization, Peter leaves the room.
Wait a minute. Where are you going?
I'm going to the market to get some baby food. We can't feed it birthday cake and goat cheese.
So what am I supposed to do?
Entertain it.
In his robe and sandals, Michael marches back to the basket.
Entertain it? How do you entertain a baby? Hey, Junior. Hey, look. Look at my hand. Hey.
He holds up an ashtray.
Look at this. Oh, it's a prism. Whoa, look at those colors, huh? This is nice stuff, huh? This is expensive. You don't like that, huh?
Well, he flaps his hands like a bird.
Oh, look, it's almost like, Japanese origami, almost with a hand. Ah, it's a bird. No, huh? Giving me a headache. How about this? Look at a hairy chest. You like that? You want one of these?
The scene shifts to a huge grocery store.
Excuse me. Where could I get a jar of baby food?
Third aisle to the right.
Right.
The grocery clerk tags boxes of detergent with a pricing gun. Peter jogs off down the aisle.
Yo, I need a check, okay? I'm free.
That's the
largest size? This is cheaper. Huh?
From the far end of the aisle, Peter gapes at the floor-to-ceiling displays of diapers and baby products.
They gotta be kidding.
Michael with his puppet.
What's happening, baby? How you doing today, huh? My name is Johnny. That's right. But you can call me Mr. Cool. You know what I'm saying? Hey, what's your name, huh? Haven't I seen you around the neighborhood? Come on, baby. Wait, what's the matter? Cack out your tongue? Why can't you talk? Huh? Come on, kid. Laugh it up. I'm doing my best.
Now, Peter mouths the names on the baby food jars as he passes. Grabbing a jar, he turns to a clerk behind him.
Excuse me. Is this a good meal for a baby?
That's for toddlers.
A toddler? What's a toddler?
Year and a half, 2 years.
No, I need something for a baby.
This is your first.
First what?
Baby.
Yeah, first and the last.
No matter how much you prepare, you're never quite ready for them, are you?
No, you're not.
An infant eats in its first 12 months can determine its entire psychological and physical future?
That's fascinating, but all I need is some food. Just some food, that's all. Edna, what's the best-selling brand?
Oh, that white can over there.
Great. This is the best, then?
No, it's the cheapest. That's why it sells the most.
How about this one, then?
Oh, that's good.
He takes four cans.
But it's got iron in it.
Is that bad?
It is if your baby's allergic to it.
How do you know if she's allergic to it?
They throw up all over you. Of course, they throw up all over you, even if they're not allergic to it, too.
He puts the cans back.
Some babies can't hold anything down for more than a minute.
What about this one?
That's for older babies. How old's your baby?
He falters, then holds up his hands about 2 feet apart.
About that old.
You don't know how old your baby is?
Yes, I do. I know how old my baby is.
Is she teething?
Teething?
Well, you know, does she cry all night? Does she chew on her fist and drool a lot?
All right, I'll take three of these, and I'll take some of these. And thanks very much for your time, Edna.
He throws an armload into a cart.
Been a source of great distress.
Don't forget, if the baby's less than 3 months old, you gotta sterilize the nipples.
He shoots her an incredulous stare. Back in the apartment.
Here I come.
Wearing a mask and snorkel, Michael walks across the living room, miming a breaststroke. He pulls off the swim gear.
Hey, look, I'll give you $10 if you stop crying, huh?
$10, huh? You like that? Yeah, I'm gonna pick you up now, huh? There you go, Junior. There you go.
He holds her at arm's length.
Is that better? No, huh? All right. Well, how about a little walk, huh? How about a little walk? Here. Wait a minute. Let me. Here you go. Here we go. Okay. Hey, how about this, huh? No. We're not going to keep crying. No. Hey, wait. Oh, look. Hey, rock-a-bye, baby, on a treetop. Well, na-na-na-na-na. Something like that, something. Come on, where the hell is he? Looking at cows or something? Hey, look, no crying, no crying. Hey, wait a minute, you can drive a guy to drink, you know that? No, not you. You're a cute little thing, yeah. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. When Peter gets home, I'm gonna punch him in the eye.
All right, here we are.
Here we are in my room. Yeah, look around here. This is nice, huh?
He sits on the bed with the baby on his lap.
We'll sit down here and... Look, we're going to watch a little TV. Yeah, we'll watch a little TV. It's you and me, huh? Here you go.
Amuse yourself.
He lies back on the bed.
Women are wondering, are they having an orgasm? Men are worried. Maybe their penis
No. No, you don't want to hear that. No.
Okay, we're going to have a nice conversation with Uncle Peter and let him have some fun now, yeah?
He opens the front door.
Yeah. Where the hell have you been?
Hi,
Mrs.
Oh, what a darling little baby.
Yeah.
Is it yours?
No, it's not mine.
Mr. Mitchell's.
No. Someone sort of loaned it to us. We're watching her for a while.
Well, what's his name?
Her name is, Sylvia. No, Mary. Yeah. Well, we've had a tough morning, and we're all tuckered out. We've been drooling, so we're going to just say goodbye, okay? Bye-bye, Miss Hathaway. Bye-bye.
He pushes her out the door, but she peeks back in.
By the way, this package just arrived for you downstairs.
He tosses the thin blue box on the sofa.
All right, great. Thanks, Miss Hathaway.
Could I hold it for just a minute?
Oh, I don't think so. She doesn't really...
I just love babies. Oh, yes.
She cradles Mary in her arms.
I just love babies. Unfortunately, Mr. Hathaway and I were never able to have any of our own. Mr. Hathaway has a low sperm count.
Well, some guys have all the luck.
Oh, you are a cute little bundle, aren't you? You do realize she did a doodle. Yes, you did. Would you like me to give you a hand in changing her?
Michael stares, wide-eyed.
No, I can do it. I'm used to it. Well, thanks a lot, Miss Hathaway. We gotta go now. All right, so we're gonna say bye-bye now. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mary.
Michael wags Mary's arm. Okay, Peter enters, laden with bags.
We need anyone to babysit.
All right, yeah, all right, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Mitchell, she's a lovely baby.
Yeah, adorable. Where the hell have you been? This baby hasn't stopped crying since you left, and she did a doodle.
A doodle? What the hell's that? No, don't tell me. I don't want
to
know.
Well, you're gonna know, pal, because she did it. What's with all the bags?
I had to go to three different places, buy four different kinds of formula, two different kinds of diapers, bottles, towels, nipples. You have no idea how much crap these kids need. How old is she anyway?
What should I know? Do you want me to check her driver's license?
Guarantee.
What?
Just feel her teeth. The druggist said that you can tell how old she is by feeling her teeth.
Well, I'm not feeling her teeth. You feel her teeth. I'm tired of holding her anyway. Here.
No, no, I can't hold her and make her bottle at the same time.
All right, I'll hold her. You check for the teeth, okay?
Peter dips his fingers in a pot of water.
Come on.
Michael holds the baby awkwardly in front of him. Peter wipes off his finger, then winces as he slides it into the squirming infant's mouth.
I can't feel anything.
What do you think that means?
It means she doesn't have any damn teeth.
Well, neither did Gabby Hayes, and he was 90, so what?
All right, then we'll give her the stuff for newborns, hope she's not allergic to it. You have no idea how much stuff these kids can be allergic to. What's that stench?
On the living room couch.
Michael, hold her. Yeah, just hold her. That's it.
Wait a minute, Peter, this is a girl. Should we be doing this?
Michael, just hold her, will you, so I can get the diaper off?
Oh!
How can something so small create so much of something so disgusting?
Oh, God, beats the shit out of me here. Give me the other diaper. Oh.
Wait a minute, shouldn't we wash her first?
We'll wash her later. Give me the cotton. Give me the cotton.
Oh. Look at this.
Come on, Michael, just give me a little cotton. I don't need a package. I just need some cotton.
Oh, no, wait, the wipies. Give me the cotton wipies.
Michael tosses aside the spilling bag of cotton balls and grabs a plastic container of baby wipes.
Oh, this is disgusting. It's all over and it's sticky, and we're going to need some kind of cleaning fluid to get it off.
How about aftershave?
Oh, come on, Michael. Just get me one of the diapers.
Kneeling in front of the couch, Michael reaches back and grabs a diaper, knocking over the whole box.
All right, good. No, these tape things go in the front or the back.
How am I supposed to know?
Okay. There.
Whoa! These diapers are way too big. What size did you get?
They're ultra absorbent. The more absorbent, the better, if you ask me. Will you hold her for a minute? The kid's going crazy.
I don't want to.
Come on, Michael.
Hey, don't pull that so hard. It's going to rip.
I'm not going to rip it.
Yes, you are.
All right, well, okay. Get me another diaper. I'll use the tape. I'll use the tape from the diaper. I'll tape it up. I'm an architect, for Christ's sakes. I build 50-story skyscrapers. I assemble cities of the future. I can certainly put together a goddamn diaper. Take it easy, kid. All right?
Peter fastens the diaper with tape stripped from a spare.
There, see? It's working. Piece of cake. There.
Peter lifts her up. The diaper drops off.
Nice job, Pete.
Our view glides down the baby's naked body. Pee drips off her toes and onto the couch.
The little insect was just waiting for that diaper to fall off.
I think we're in trouble.
Mary grins. Later, Michael scrubs the couch with a soapy sponge.
I'm gonna kill Jack.
An evil grin spreads over his features.
I kill him.
Now, Peter sprints into the kitchen and deposits a diaper in a plastic trash can. Trying not to stand too near, he fastens the lid closed. Later, they wash Mary in the sink.
This is the deal.
Michael,
what?
You're going to have to wash where the poop was. Now, come on.
Michael squirts her with a turkey baster.
Come on. No, just not getting anything off that way.
Michael dabs at her bottom with a sponge.
There you go. It's clean.
Yeah.
Isn't that clean? And then put it in the privates.
I'll rinse her.
All right. Rinse her out a little bit.
Michael reads the label on a plastic bottle.
This is for moisturizing and...
Don't use the baby lotion now.
Well, it says prevents chafing and chafing.
Wash the baby.
We should put some in there anyway.
He squirts some into the water.
Make sure she's not...
Later, Peter carefully wraps Mary in a red blanket. She kicks and flaps her arms happily. Then he picks her up. With a furrowed brow, he freezes in mid-step and looks down at the palm of his hand. Later, Michael washes the blanket in the kitchen sink. Nighttime. Peter sits in a kitchen chair with his feet up. His chin rests peacefully on his chest, his lips pressed against Mary's tiny bald head. He cradles her on his stomach, holding a bottle to her mouth with one hand and her feet with the other. His head pops up as he starts awake. Later, Michael stares at Mary with saggy eyes above the rough whiskers on his chin that form a 5 o'clock shadow. He leans over her basket with his chin in one hand and feebly rocks her with the other. Later still, a dragging Michael pours himself a cup of coffee and sits beside the equally haggard Peter.
need some help.
Jack said that this is a delicate situation, that we shouldn't tell anybody.
Can you believe him? Putting us through hell to save his precious reputation. I'm not doing it anymore.
They look up toward the other room.
Odds.
They bounce their fists in the air, then throw out two fingers each. Michael grudgingly shuffles out of the kitchen. Noticing the baby bottle on the counter in front of him, Peter catches a drop of formula on his finger and licks it. His eyes brighten, then he squeezes some into his coffee. The scene changes to another night in the living room. Our view glides over a mess of cotton balls, rattles, and empty baby bottles to a pair of large feet hanging over the couch. Peter lies on his back in pants and a cardigan. Leaping awake, he and Michael run to close the windows. Then Peter grabs a cushion and holds it in the air. Mary's lace-trimmed white basket sits on the coffee table, and Peter gestures to Michael to be quiet. Both men anxiously peer into the basket as Mary, lying on her stomach, looks back at them over her shoulder. Mary's head sinks back down. The two exhausted men sigh at each other, then look down at the sleeping baby. The scene shifts to a construction site high above the bustling city. In a hard hat and yellow jacket, Peter shuffles across the unfinished concrete floor and smacks his head on a low-hanging pipe. Stunned, he staggers around. Now Michael lies on his bed trying to retrieve a pen from Mary, who lies on the floor.
Come on, I'm later than usual this week for the deadline.
He reaches to take the pen and spills a bottle of ink onto his comic strip. He stares unmoving at the child. Now Mary lies on her stomach on a pile of blueprints while Peter talks on the phone.
Actually, Sam, I don't seem to have them here after all. I must have left them at the office, but I'll get them first thing in the morning. Right.
He leans down toward Mary.
Daddy's a dead man.
Now Rebecca steps out of the elevator in a black evening suit, followed by a man in a black tuxedo carrying a cello case.
Rebecca, you're...
Yeah, I came as soon as I got your messages. What's the emergency?
Who are you?
Jan. This is Jan Klopatz. This is Peter.
Pleasure to meet you.
How do you do? Come on.
Jan is a cellist from Hungary. He's playing with the Breslau Baroque Ensemble at Carnegie Hall.
What is wrong?
Peter, what's the emergency?
Just come with me. This is the big emergency.
Mary wriggles in a pink jumpsuit.
It's a baby.
Why is that the first thing everybody says? It's a baby. Of course it's a baby.
It's your baby.
No, it's not my baby. It's Jack's baby.
Jack has a baby?
I realize such a concept tends to negate our belief in a benevolent God, but yes.
It doesn't look like Jack. Jack's got more hair.
I'm glad you can joke at a time like this. See, she needs to be held. Babies like to be held.
Rebecca sits down.
Where is he?
Jack? Oh, Jack's in Turkey, which is where I'd be if my baby was in New York. Now, look, Rebecca, we're dying here. Michael doesn't know anything about babies. I don't know anything about babies. On top of that, I got deadlines hanging all over me. I've been reading these books about babies. I can't figure it out. For instance, it says here, look, feed every 2 hours. Well, it takes me 2 hours to get her to eat anything. So does it mean feed her every 2 hours from when I start?
Yeah.
Or every 2 hours from when I finish? Because I've been feeding her every 2 hours from when I start, and I'm feeding her all the time.
Mm.
So which is it?
Why are you asking me?
Because you're a woman.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I automatically know what to do with babies.
Rebecca, now,
He glances up at the grinning Jan.
Please, stay with me and help me take care of her.
You want me to take care of her?
Yes.
Now?
No, when she graduates from college, yes, now.
I can't do that, Peter.
Baby takes very, very much work, eh?
Thank you for telling me that, Jan. I didn't know that. What is he, an idiot savant?
Rebecca, we be late.
Jan takes his cello and leaves the room. Rebecca follows.
Rebecca, no, no. Rebecca, please. Stay with me.
I have got a date.
Oh? Oh, excuse me for cramping your romantic style.
Rebecca, we be late, huh?
You can't be serious about this guy.
Oh, come on, Peter. You go out with other people, and so do I. We agreed to that.
You can go out with a whole damn string section for all I care. That's not the issue. Right now, I need you here.
Oh, I can't be here now.
Oh, she doodled.
Doodled.
Yes, doodled. What's the matter? Don't babies doodle in Hungary?
We're leaving.
Peter follows them to the elevator.
But wait. Come on, Rebecca, please. Don't go.
Peter, you're a very big boy. You're very capable. And you're going to get through this just fine.
Fluffing the back of her hair, Rebecca steps into the elevator.
I hate the cello.
Don't.
Jan peeks out as the door closes. Now in the kitchen, Peter and Michael feed Mary.
I keep waiting for Candid Camera to walk through the door.
What do you cancel for tonight?
Box seats at Shea. You?
Dinner with Cheryl.
Two more days.
Peter scrapes mashed peas off her chin with a spoon. Later, Michael lifts her out of the sink and hands her to Peter.
Where'd you put the baby powder?
Get it.
What'd you put it out there for? We're bathing her in here. You should have brought it in with her bath stuff.
Just out in the hall.
Well, we're not bathing her in the hall, are we?
Well, maybe we should start, goddammit!
Powder spews over the pool table.
You're going to clean that up.
The white cloud spreads into the air. Daytime.
What time are those guys supposed to get here?
Jack's message said before noon.
Good. I gotta see my editor about 1.
Michael, did you move my blueprints? I need them for my meeting this afternoon.
Michael lifts up the baby basket and pulls out a smushed roll of paper.
Sorry.
In a white shirt and powder blue tie, Peter tries to re-roll his work. Michael gently picks up Mary, cradling her, and feels her diaper.
I think she did a doodle. Your turn to change her.
I'll give you $1,000 if you'll do it.
Now a dial above the elevator rolls up to the P for penthouse. A short man in a brown suit and a black t-shirt steps out. A tall, husky bodyguard follows him to the apartment door.
Coming!
Does Jack Holden live here?
Yeah.
Someone asked us to pick up a package.
A package? I love the way everybody keeps calling it a package.
You can tell Sylvia for us that she's got a lot of nerve dumping her problems in our laps.
Who's Sylvia?
When it first got here, we considered calling the cops.
Hey, wait.
We stuck it out, though it totally disrupted our lives. No, you wait. Hey, we haven't been able to work or to sleep. And there's been shit all over this place for days.
Shit?
What?
You mean the package? It busted?
Busted? Yeah, you could say that.
Well, did you put the shit back?
Put it back? No, we had it bronzed for posterity. What do you think we did?
Peter brings Mary in her basket to the door and hands her to the brown-suited man.
Our next bottle's in 45 minutes. I made it up already. It's in the basket.
It's a baby.
You're sharp, aren't you? He's all right, huh?
20 minutes after she eats, she gets tired. Put her to bed. I'm getting you a can of powdered milk.
Oh, yeah. Right. Powdered milk, right?
Yeah, powdered milk.
So, all right. So we'll take the powdered milk and we'll get out of here.
Peter grabs a blue canister and sets it in the basket next to Mary. The shorter man, who wears his blonde hair brushed forward over his high forehead, looks down at her.
What, you want us to take the baby?
That was the arrangement.
Are you sure that's the plan?
You're damn straight.
Michael goes back inside.
Well, if you say so. Let's go.
You won't forget what we said.
No.
And she likes to be rocked to sleep. Gently.
Gently, absolutely. Gently, I can handle it.
Maybe you should leave a phone number, in case you need some advice.
Oh, well, I'll call you.
Peter stares at the closed elevator with troubled eyes. Blinking down at the floor, he turns and goes into the apartment. Michael lounges on the couch.
Do you hear that, Peter? Just listen. Isn't it wonderful?
Isn't what wonderful?
Quiet. Peace and quiet.
There's something screwy going on, Michael. I got a funny feeling.
What are you talking about? You've been tense the last 5 days. It's just your nerves unwinding.
Michael gets up and leaves the room.
Maybe you're right.
Leaning back with his right arm on the corner of the couch, Peter's hand falls behind a cushion. He pulls out the thin blue wrapped package. Staring at it, he looks toward the door.
Michael.
He gets up from the couch and strides into Michael's room.
Michael, what is this?
Package.
When did it get here?
Sunday. Mrs. Hathaway...
Go to the window, see if you can stop it.
I gotta try and catch up.
Peter sprints into the foyer. He waits for the elevator, then hits it with his fist. He ducks into a door beside the apartment. Downstairs, the two thugs cross the lobby.
Want to go for a ride?
Peter tears down a stairway, the package in his hand. Michael yells out a window.
Hey! Hey, up here!
Outside, two men in gray suits watch from a sedan across the street as the thugs stroll up to a double-parked black convertible.
Where am I going to put this little baby?
Ride it on your lap,
huh? We need a little baby car seat, I think.
Put it in the trunk.
Yeah, do you want to go for a ride in the car in the trunk? Huh? Want to go in the trunk?
Now in the lobby, Peter trips on an oriental carpet. The package breaks open, spilling tiny white plastic bags on the floor.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Hey, want to try this? It's an adventure. Why am I listening to you? Why do I listen to you? I mean, this is absurd. I can't put a little baby in the trunk.
Peter stuffs the baggies back into the blue box, then runs out to the sidewalk.
Oh, hey. Wonderful.
Look, I gave you the wrong package.
What wrong?
I made a terrible mistake. I gave you the wrong package. Look, I've got... Give me the baby first.
No, hey,
give me the baby first.
In the driver's seat, the bodyguard pulls a gun out of the glove compartment.
Give me the baby!
I keep him chained to the wall. I feed him raw meat.
Hey, what's going on here?
Guys, we're in trigger.
I said, what's going on here?
Nothing, officer.
You gonna ride with that kid in the trunk?
No, of course not. That's absurd. I mean, it's unhealthy for the child, and it's illegal also, I understand.
No, he's not, officer. Yeah. Give me the baby.
Let me see a license and registration.
Why?
Why?
Yeah,
because you're double parked, wise guy.
Oh, why? All right. Wait a minute.
The shorter thug takes the powdered milk, and Peter tries to go inside with Mary.
Hey, 1 second, officer. Sam. I'll be right with you.
The thug jumps into the convertible, which speeds away.
Hey, come at it! You freeze!
Peter sheepishly freezes on the sidewalk.
I have no intention of moving, officer. I'm not a criminal. I'm an architect. With a baby, see?
Let me see some ID. Oh.
Peter reaches into his breast pocket and feels the blue box.
I don't have any with me.
Up against the car. Spread them.
Officer, look, my wallet's up in my apartment. It's right up there. You can come up with me. You're welcome to. I'll show you some ID. But I'm not going to spread them because I have a baby, as you can plainly see.
All right, architect, let's go.
Holding the reins of his horse, the police officer follows Peter up the steps. Now in the apartment.
Here we are. Come on in. Can I get you a cup of coffee or something?
No, thanks. I'll just wait here by the door.
Michael, I'll just be a second.
Come with me, Michael.
What's here we go. I'm coming.
Just listen. The package those guys came for was full of drugs.
Drugs!
Peter hands Michael the baby and the package.
Coming!
Do something with it.
Like, hide it!
I gotta show him some ID.
I'm coming.
Michael closes the door to his room as Peter jogs back to the policeman.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Here you are.
Would you mind removing that from the cover, please?
What's your shirt?
He looks at the ID, then at Peter. Michael scans the room as he bounces Mary in his arms.
Shh. Thanks for coming up, officer. I hope it hasn't been an inconvenience. And if there's anything else I can do for you, just let me know.
I'll just do my job.
Inside the elevator is one of the gray-suited men from the sedan.
Hi. I'm Detective Sergeant Melkowitz, narcotics.
He flashes a badge.
Officer, you can get down and saddle up now.
Yes, sir.
I'll handle this.
Melkowitz, a hefty man with slicked back, gray hair, scans the colorful mural with a smile. Peter stares at him, dumbfounded.
Are you going to ask me in?
Our view shifts back to Michael. He takes a pamper from a large box, places it on his drafting table, then cuts into the plastic with an X-Acto knife.
Can I get you a cup of coffee, some water, beer?
No, thanks, I'm fine. Oh. You don't mind me asking you a few questions, do you?
No, not at all.
Is that your baby I saw you with downstairs?
No.
Michael stuffs the drug packets into the diaper.
Well, who were those two men I saw you talking to?
Friends of the mother's. They were going to take her for a ride. The baby. Baby, not the mother. But they couldn't, see, because they brought the wrong car. There's no baby seat.
Michael tapes up the hole.
Do you mind if I have a look at that baby? I just love little babies.
She's sleeping.
Sounds like she's awake to me. Do you mind if I see her?
I don't know. You know, she doesn't really like strangers. She may not be decent.
Oh, I don't think she'll mind.
As Malkowitz enters, Peter mouths the word cop to Michael.
Well, there she is. And she's got a friend.
Oh, yeah, this is my other roommate, Detective Malkowitz. This is Michael Kellen.
Hello. Oh, what a cutie. Do you mind if I hold her? I just love kids.
Well, I'd rather not, actually. She's, Go ahead, Michael. It won't hurt her.
Well, you know how she is around people, Peter. She's so...
Michael, will you let him hold her? He's not going to hurt her. He's a police officer.
All right.
Michael hands Mary over, and Malkowitz carries her into the living room.
You're a heavy little girl, aren't you?
As they follow, Michael mouths to Peter, the drugs are in the diaper.
Yes, she really is heavy, isn't she?
She's a good eater.
Yeah, it's a good sign. Means she won't grow up to be a nervous adult.
You've got nothing to be nervous about, have you, sweetie?
Feels as though she's ready for a change.
Oh, he feels her diaper. Oh.
You know babies. Yep. All they do is eat, sleep, and poop. Yeah. Michael, good idea.
Michael takes her away.
Oh, what a cute little baby. Hmm?
Do you happen to know where her father is at the moment?
No. He's on location, doing a TV movie, but I don't have any idea where...
Do you know this guy?
He holds out a photo of Jack's director friend from the party.
Oh, not very well. He's a friend of Jack's. I don't remember his name.
His name's Paul Milner. He directs TV commercials. And on the side, he just happens to dabble in a little heroin smuggling.
The smile on Peter's chiseled features droops.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know him.
Peter turns toward the door.
I'd appreciate that glass of water now, Mr. Mitchell.
Of course. No problem.
Thank you.
Nearly bumping over a plant, he goes into the kitchen.
I got it.
While he waits, Malkowitz peeks into Mary's baby basket on the living room coffee table and presses his fingers along the edges of the cloth inside. He looks at the answering machine.
Hi, this is Peter. Michael.
And Jack.
We're out playing and we can't come to the phone,
but we'll call you back.
Shit!
Peter runs to the kitchen phone.
Hold on. Whoever it is, I'm here.
Peter, Jack.
Yeah, how are you? Listen, I got a message saying you're trying to get through to me. What's up? Jack. Michael and I really have to talk to you, but you called us at a bad time. We'll call back later.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't hang up. I'm calling from Turkey. It took me an hour to put this call through. It's not an easy place to phone from, you know.
Hey, Peter, this place is amazing.
You will not believe some of the stuff I bought for you guys.
Jack!
I mean, the shit is so cheap here. I probably bought too much of it, but what the hell, I can always smuggle it in.
I was kidding.
Jack, thanks for calling.
And we'll see you when you get back.
In the living room, a smiling Malkowitz greets Michael as he steps out of the bedroom with Mary. In the kitchen, Peter grabs a glass from the sink.
I gotta get him a glass of water so his mouth doesn't go dry when he reads me my rights. Sergeant.
Oh, thanks.
Malkowitz raises the glass in a toast, drinks, and watches Peter. Peter crosses purposefully to the front door. He opens it and looks at the sergeant.
Bye. Nice talking to you. It was very illuminating.
He heard the phone call.
We're dead.
You think Jack's involved in this?
I don't know. We got to talk to Paul Milner.
Why him?
Because he is involved.
They march into Jack's room. Peter opens his Rolodex.
Couldn't you think of somewhere better to hide the drug?
Hey, it was perfect until you insisted that he hold the baby.
All right, you're right, Michael. I'm sorry. Where'd you put him now?
In the garbage pail under the other dirty diapers. Nobody's going to look for it there.
You realize we're in trouble with this cop?
You realize, of course, that no one's coming back to get this kid.
Jesus, you're right. We're stuck with her until Jack gets back. This is disconnected.
Peter looks at his watch.
Oh, I'm late.
Wait a minute, so am I.
Oh, damn it.
Mr. Callum? Mr. Mitchell?
Smiling, the two men step into the living room.
Hello, Mrs. Hathaway.
Oh, Mr. Mitchell, it seems that a horse has befouled the front walk. Do you know anything about it?
They glance at Mary in Michael's arms.
Mrs. Hathaway, how nice to see you. Really nice to see you.
Oh.
She can sit till 5.
Well, I'll try and hurry.
Me too, I'm worried.
In the front lobby, Michael and Peter pass a thin black man and a balding white man.
I got the one with the mustache.
I'll call Sergeant Melkowitz and tell him we're moving.
They split up to follow Michael and Peter down the front steps of the building. Across the street, the two thugs drink coffee on a wooden bench. From their viewpoint, we see the awning above the apartment building's stairs. It reads, Prasada. A shorter thug puts on his sunglasses. Then the scene shifts to the construction site. Peter goes over some blueprints with a foreman. Now at a sidewalk newsstand.
Here you go, pal. What can I do for you?
Sports Illustrated, Popular Science, some of this gum, and that giraffe up there.
Which one's the giraffe?
The rubber one.
That's not a giraffe. That's a dinosaur.
Whatever.
You mean the one with the little polka dots up there?
Yes.
That's a dinosaur. You. Giraffe has big ears.
I don't care what
it is. Dinosaur.
Just give me the damn thing.
Hey, what about your change?
Never mind.
What about your change, pal?
Nearby, the thin black undercover cop watches Peter as he hurries away. Later, Peter slows the pace of his walking, a deep crease growing between his dark, bushy eyebrows. Turning left, he pauses beside a tall cement pillar and peeks back down the sidewalk. The cop, wearing jeans and a blue jacket, sees him and suddenly turns away. Peter jogs into the apartment building.
Hathaway. It's Hathaway, I'm home.
He freezes. Mrs. Hathaway sits bound and gagged on the floor by the couch.
Hathaway, where's Mary?
I don't know.
Where's Mary?
He runs to Jack's room. Piles of furniture stuffing cover the floor.
Mary? Oh, my God. Mary?
Jumping over fallen prints of Johnny Cool, Peter runs into Michael's room. Empty drawers and their contents pepper the floor amid huge wads of cotton batting.
Mary?
Peter charges through a small office and into his black and white tiled room. His mattress lies strewn with video boxes. The tapes themselves hang from the ceiling in tangled spaghetti-like strands.
Mary!
Now Peter stumbles into the sunny kitchen and opens a closet door.
Thank God.
Picking up Mary from her basket, he sits on the edge of the pool table.
Thank God. No, everything's fine, darling. Everything's fine. Don't you worry.
He presses her gently against his shoulder.
Nobody's gonna hurt you. No, it's okay.
Peter! Peter!
She's okay. She's not hurt.
Michael blinks, a crease deepening in his brow.
How are you? I'm fine. Just...
see what those bastards did to my videotapes?
Got a message.
What did it say?
Michael opens a note.
Next time we'll take the baby.
It's okay.
Mr. Kellum?
Peter and Michael glance at each other.
Mr. Mitchell?
Nighttime in Peter's room.
The champ caught Smith with a savage left hook that sent the challenger crashing into the ropes. Smith... his left eye swollen, and the cut above his right eye, now much more bloody, countered with a barrage of vicious body blows. What are you reading her? It doesn't matter what I read. It's the tone you use. She doesn't understand the words anyway. Now, where were we? The champ began the fifth round like a man possessed, going straight for his opponent's body with ferocious energy.
Mary stares up at Peter with wide, fascinated eyes. He puts down the magazine.
There you go, darling.
Her body is about the length of his brawny arm. Carefully, he lifts her into the basket on the bed behind him. Mary's eyes remain riveted on his face as he unrolls a fluffy pink blanket. Pivoting his body, he stretches out beside her. He pulls the toy giraffe out from under himself and gives it to the baby. Tucking the blanket around her, Peter takes off his glasses and turns out the light. A pool of blue moonlight bathes Mary's basket, and Peter leans over it while he gazes down at her alert eyes. Poking his right hand through one of the handles, he rests it on top of her, then lies back on his pillow. In the foyer, we glimpse the elevator dial as it rolls up toward the letter P. Peter starts awake. A figure in a beige jacket backs in through the apartment door. Peter sits up in bed. Now the shadowy figure tiptoes through the living room with a heavy bag. Peter peers through the glass door of his office and pauses to pick up a basketball. Then he tiptoes into the living room. The figure creeps into Jack's darkened room, then trips. Peeking out from behind a cactus-shaped sculpture, Peter takes aim and hurls the basketball directly at the figure's head. He wrestles the intruder to the ground.
My face! Watch out for my face! Peter, it's me, Jack!
Jack!
Michael runs out and dives on Jack. Peter restrains him.
You're irresponsible, Michael!
What is it with you guys?
We should be asking you that question.
Why? What'd I do?
What the hell are you doing back so soon, anyway?
My part got cut, okay?
Good!
What is with him? Look at this place. Will somebody please tell me what the hell is going on around here?
Oh, shit!
They grab Jack's arms.
What was that?
No, I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what's going on.
We'll be glad to.
Really hurt, Peter.
Sunday morning. I come back from jogging to find this basket with this baby in it, waiting in the vestibule.
What?
Inside is a little note from a Sylvia saying that the baby was yours and she was leaving it here for you to deal with it.
Mine?
Then along comes another little package with your name on it, only this time the package has heroin in it and the narcotics squad permanently camped downstairs knows all about it.
The cops? I don't believe this. I don't know anything about any drugs or any police. I mean, I thought I was just doing a favor for Paul. I didn't know it was in that package. I certainly don't know anything about that baby. I mean, for God's sake, somebody drops a baby off on your doorstep and you automatically assume he's mine?
They follow Jack to the living room.
Look, the child doesn't look anything like me. I'm bigger and I have more hair.
Dear Jack, here is our baby. I can't handle this now. I don't know where else to turn.
Sylvia. Oh, my God. Stratford, a year and a half ago. I was doing Taming of the Shrew. She was the shrew. I mean, I did some of my best work in that. I got great reviews.
Jack, you're such a jerk. You're always thinking about yourself. I want to kill you.
Michael, we won't have to. Jack,
I would like to introduce you to your daughter, Mary.
Peter holds her out. A stiff-armed Jack takes her.
No, wait a minute, you guys. You can't be sure that this is my kid.
What the hell am I supposed to do with it?
We've put our lives on hold, Jack, taking care of this kid, and now it's your turn.
Michael nods.
Okay, all right. All right, fine. All right. Until I straighten this mess out, I'll take care of her. I mean, sure, why not? I'm an actor. I can do a father.
Jack holds her out like a dirty diaper.
Yeah. What can be so difficult, huh?
Hugging her, he pats her back.
Good night, Jack.
Good night, Jack.
Good night. Good night. Ooh, down we go. Wait a minute. What's the matter with her?
Good night, Jack.
Peter and Michael stroll away, their hands folded behind their backs. Jack shrugs, then returns to his room. Later, Peter and Michael play pool.
Hey, how do you put on these goddamn things anyway?
Figure it out for yourself, dickhead.
Look at that stuff. Oh, my God. What are you guys feeding her, huh? Oh, no, please. Not on the silk sheets. Please. Oh.
Maybe I should show him how to put on the diaper.
Michael steps up to the table.
No, let's give him another half hour. Let him suffer.
He sinks a long bank shot and grins.
Yes, I'm trying to reach Paul Milner. No, he was supposed to be in San Francisco, but I can't find him. Would you please tell him to call Jack Holden as soon as he gets in?
Is this urgent?
Yeah, urgent's an understatement. Lady.
Morning in the kitchen. Jack heats up a bottle.
I don't know why I bother giving you this. It just goes right through you. Did you get a hold of your friend?
No.
Don't forget to bolt the door.
I won't. And remember, there's $250,000 in heroin in that diaper pail.
And the new baby wipes are in the cabinet.
Right. Heroin's in the diaper pail. Baby wipes are in the cabinet. Where else would they be? I can't believe this.
You're kidding me. 32 Benningtons in the London area?
Yes, sir. Checking in the London area. I'd like 32 I'll get back to you. Oh, boy.
He gives Mary another bottle. He returns to the old-fashioned wall phone and holds the receiver to his ear.
Oh, God. Maybe, Well, we tried your mommy. Maybe I should try mine, huh? Yeah. Mom?
Well, where is she?
Oh, Mom, wait till you see her. Oh, you won't believe this. She is so beautiful. She looks just like you.
You know, you boys live like pigs.
Oh, Mom.
She trips over the rubble on the floor.
Isn't she beautiful?
There she is. Are you kidding me? I'm going to pick you right up. Yes, I'm
going to
pick you right up.
Oh, I'm in awe. I mean, look at you. You pick her up like a pro.
I pick her up like a grandmother. That's called experience. Darling, let's see you. Oh, she's so lovely. What's her name?
Mary.
Mary. Mary. Look at the way she's looking at me. For a moment there, I had her laughing.
Yeah, just like me, huh?
Don't ruin this for me, Jack.
Oh, she adores you.
You will.
She knows that you're her grandmother. It's like a biological thing, an instant connection.
Cut the crap, Jack. What do you want?
Mom, I can't take care of her. I don't know what to do. I was kind of hoping that maybe you could take her just for a little while, not forever, you know, until she's ready to vote.
Oh, I would love to. Do you know, Jack, some people live all their lives without having anything as wonderful as this to show for it?
I know, Mom.
So I'm going to do the most wonderful thing in the world for you. Absolutely nothing.
Why?
Jack, you've always run away from responsibility. Now you have to turn and face it.
She turns Mary toward him on her knee.
Mom, I'm a screw-up.
You were a screw-up. Now you're a father. And you'll be a fine one.
Think so?
I know it.
Standing up, she carries Mary toward the door.
Your father? God rest his soul. He was a screw-up, and he turned out just fine.
Really?
Don't you remember?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Now, give me a kiss. Mary, give me a kiss. And now, you and your friends, clean this place up.
Oh.
If not for yourselves, do it for my granddaughter.
We will.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks anyway, Mom. Oh, looks like it's just you and me now, kid. What? Mama.
Later, Peter and Michael prepare to go out.
Oh, Jack, there's 4 bottles prepared already, so you should be fine till tomorrow morning.
And if her bottom gets ready, just give her a bottle of water. Works miracles. In about 3 hours, white as marble.
We'll be in seats D11, 12, 13, and 14.
Yeah, if there's a problem, just call. The usher will come and get us. Oh, here's the number.
Wait a minute. Are you leaving right now?
Yeah, now.
When are you coming back?
About midnight.
All right, don't worry about us. Wait a minute, is this a 4?
That's 4.
It's good to have.
He pockets the paper and looks at Mary.
So, what do you want to do?
Now, Peter, Rebecca, Michael, and a blonde woman enter a crowded theater lobby.
You know, this show's been running longer than Mary's been alive.
Peter, we agreed not to mention her name tonight, right?
Right, my mistake.
Who did you guys con into sitting for you?
Jack.
Jack?
Daddy?
Rebecca and the blonde woman walk away. Peter and Michael exchange looks of repressed panic. Now, back at the apartment.
Are you hungry? Huh? Well, we're in luck here. Tonight, the chef has cooked up something very special for you. He has taken the juice of one cow and sautéed it with a fine sauce. It is presented, surrounded by a bottle, and topped off with a delicious rubber nipple. Huh? Oh, yes. Oh, excellent choice. Yes, yes. Here we go.
Oh, yes. She spits out the bottle.
What? There you go. Come on.
Dabbing the nipple on his arm, he tries again.
Please? You don't want it, huh?
Picking her up, he checks her diaper.
Yeah, changed you? Huh? You're not hungry? What else is there in life?
The scene shifts to Peter dialing a payphone. We glimpse the kitchen phone in the apartment.
I always wanted to be a musical comedy star. Did you ever try?
No.
Michael looks up the stairs at Peter, who signals down a crowded lobby staircase that there's no answer.
Michael, have you ever done any acting?
No, I leave that to Jack. The idiot.
Back in the apartment, Jack wiggles Mary's arm and dances in the shower.
I got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. I guess you say, what can make me feel this way?
But maybe he fell asleep. Maybe he fell and hit his head. He's probably unconscious.
Will you come on?
There's
no
way. It's terrible. It's terrible. Oh. I had a great time.
I'll see you at PJ's later.
Oh, you can sing us a song from the second act, okay?
Are they always this strange?
Yes.
Since they got involved with another woman.
Wasn't that fun, huh? Yeah. Oh, come there.
Jack,
where are you?
Jack!
I'm right here. What?
What are you doing?
Well, what's it look like I'm doing, Peter?
Is everything all right?
Everything's fine, yeah. Why are you guys back so soon anyway, huh?
We thought that we might have left the stove on.
No, the stove's not on. I think that Uncle Peter, Uncle Michael, having a nervous breakdown. Yeah.
I called, Jack. I let the phone ring for 5 minutes. Why didn't you answer the phone?
Well, because Mary and I were taking a shower, weren't we? Yeah, we didn't hear anything. Did we? Yeah. Isn't that the truth, mademoiselle? Yes.
Daytime. A workman stands inside the shower stall.
I never put a phone in a shower before. You get many calls in here?
Steady stream.
Michael leaves the bathroom. The scene shifts to Peter as he checks the mailbox in the front lobby. Frowning, he pauses to read a cutout newspaper article left in his box. Now in the living room.
Here.
Peter hands the article to Michael.
Commercial director hospitalized after mugging.
What?
Yeah, take a look at this. This is your friend, Paul Milner.
Don't let this happen to you. Be at the phone booth at the corner of 81st and Columbus at exactly 8 p.m. tonight. They're trying to intimidate us. I hate that.
I've had enough of this doo-doo. I want to finish this, okay?
Now, along a busy city street, the two stakeout cops hang out on the sidewalk. Beside a phone booth, Peter, Michael, and Jack crouch around Mary in a stroller.
Hello? Yeah, we got your message. Uh-uh. No good. We do it our way. Because we got the stuff. And if you don't do it our way...
Come on. Say it. Say it.
We flush it down the toilet. Okay, now listen, and listen good. There's a construction site.
Nighttime in front of the apartment building. From across the street, we watch a tall, pregnant blonde woman leaving the building. She turns left onto the sidewalk. Across the street, the thin black cop leans on his car, sipping a cup of coffee. The pregnant blonde woman rounds a corner, and we see that she is actually Jack in a blonde wig and makeup. Unfastening the front of his dress, he lifts Mary out of a belly-level sling, then holds her in one hand and bites off his long red fake fingernails with his teeth. Back at his car, the black cop perks up as Peter and Michael leave the building and get into a cab. He tosses his coffee cup on the ground and gets into the driver's seat. His partner puts away a magazine, and they take off after the cab. We see a flash of streets flowing with yellow cabs, then one cab pulls to a halt at an intersection. Michael and Peter hurry out, run across a traffic island, and jump into another cab headed the opposite way. The two cops pull up behind them and leap out of their car. They run across the island just in time to see the second cab speed away.
Damn it, Joe! Lost them!
I got him! We lost! Turn around!
That was great. Everybody remember what they're supposed to do.
Oh, come on, Peter. It's not that complicated.
Okay, next he's going to want us to synchronize our watches, right?
Should we do that?
With Mary in the seat beside him, Jack sits behind the wheel of the cab, his hair pulled back in a stocking. Now at the construction site, the two thugs pull up in their small black convertible and get out of the car. Jack in a telephone booth.
Yes, thank you. Hello, Sergeant Malkiewicz. My name is Jack Holden. I think you know my two roommates.
I must have been crazy to agree to that.
The two thugs walk up a set of wooden stairs.
Orange elevator, here it is.
Now the yellow cab drives down an alleyway and pulls up beside the wooden stairs at the construction site. The shorter thug and his tall, suited sidekick step into the orange cage of a large construction elevator.
Closed door. Okay, 15, please.
15?
Yeah. Got all filthy and everything.
Jumping out of the cab, Jack runs up the wooden stairs. He freezes in mid-step, looks up to the scaffolding, then turns and runs back to the cab.
What's wrong, my sweetheart? Come here. What is it? Huh? What's wrong? Shh, can...
He checks her diaper.
Walt. Well, you should have told me before we left. Oh, boy, this is not a good time to do this.
In the back seat, Jack takes off her diaper. Now the thugs arrive on the 15th floor.
Michael. They're here.
Michael aims a camcorder through the slats of a metal ventilation duct.
Hey, you know, this is really aggravating.
I'm here right now.
You know, I don't have a lot of
time. Hold it.
What?
Hold it!
What?
Just hold it.
Look, where is the stuff? Were you giving it to me?
It's in the elevator.
Oh, bullshit.
It's in the control panel.
Check the taller thug goes to check.
What am I supposed to do, bring my handy little toolkit here?
You realize that we had absolutely nothing to do with this. We had no idea what was in the package.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I could have figured that out in about 4 seconds. I mean, you know, you guys don't behave like a couple of pros, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
We're not pros.
I just said that, didn't I? I'm sensitive to that. I mean, why do you make it so complicated?
Michael continues videotaping.
We've never done this.
I got it. Great. You're forgiven this time.
He tucks the package into his pants.
Very wise of you to cooperate. Wow. Finally.
Glad it's over.
No happier than I am, believe me. I mean, dealing with amateurs is a real pain in the ass.
So is dealing with professionals.
Calm down.
The ventilation duct behind Peter wobbles.
Hey, what is that? What are you, abusing my trust here or what? There's someone in there! Come on.
The ventilation duct tips over. The thugs charge forward. Peter pulls down the corner of a metal frame, spilling a rack of long yellow pipes on top of them. Michael crawls out of the duct. He and Peter sprint into an elevator, yanking down the heavy metal doors. The elevator glides downward.
I lost my balance.
You all right?
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Michael holds up the video camera, and Peter throws his arms around it. Jack runs back up the wooden stairs and unlocks a large breaker box. The thugs crawl out from under the pipes.
I want that camera, punk!
They run into another elevator. Jack checks the breaker switches.
There's six switches! Oh, God, not my day!
Jack yanks the top left switch. Michael and Peter's elevator abruptly stops.
Jack!
What the hell happened?
He hit the wrong button!
He what?
Can it go any faster or what?
This is it!
Huh? Come on, you punks!
Jack!
The thug's elevator lowers down toward Michael and Peter's.
Jack! Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. I want that whole movie. I'll wait for you. I want that movie.
The short thug points at the roommates as his elevator passes theirs.
Jack! Hit the button on the left! The button on the left, Jack!
What?
Hit the button on the left!
There's no left.
Crouching, Jack presses two buttons on a low breaker box.
Come on, get it going faster, will you? That is? Please.
Jack pulls a lever.
Hey, why don't we stop? What's the matter?
Hey, Leonard,
huh?
Dead.
Why is this elevator stopped?
I got him!
It ain't running. It just ain't running.
What's going on? Is this the button?
No, it's dead.
Oh, boy. Uncle Peter and Uncle Michael are going to be plenty ticked off with that.
He pushes up the higher lever, and Peter and Michael's elevator descends.
Aren't you glad he's on our side?
What happened? What happened? Can you get away from me? I know where you live, man!
Passing the thugs on their way down, Michael and Peter grin triumphantly. Lights flashing, police cars surround the construction site. Sliding open the orange elevator doors, Peter and Michael run down the wooden stairs.
Oh, no, Vince.
Oh, why? Why is this happening?
Oh, no.
Why is this happening? Why?
It's okay, guys. It's okay. Hi, are you Sergeant Malkowitz?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Are you the father?
Yes, I am.
Hey! Oh, thanks for the phone call.
Well, actually, it was Peter's idea. Hi, guys. She's okay.
Hello, Sergeant. The guys you want are in that elevator.
The drugs are up there, too. Everything you need to know is right here.
It's very illuminating.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. If I have any questions, I know where to reach you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, fellas.
Let's get him, Jimmy.
Hey, can I hold the baby, huh?
No. Guess not.
The eager smile on Malkowitz's face droops.
When the sun goes down and it's getting late, you say it's time for bed.
Daytime. At a slightly exaggerated speed, the three roommates play frisbee in a sunny park. As they alternate playing frisbee and holding Mary, clusters of women gather around them. Peter catches a frisbee. A woman hands Jack a slip of paper, which he reads, then pockets. Holding Mary at the center of a circle of women, Peter tries to catch a passing frisbee, but misses. Now, Peter flies Mary like an airplane above the women's heads and into Michael's waiting hands. Michael wanders away, followed by a trail of doting, smiling women of all ages. Left in the dust, Peter and Jack hold up a rattle. A young woman on roller skates spins near a giant bronze statue of Alice in Wonderland. Now, Mary wears a tiny pink hard hat as Peter carries her through a construction site. Construction workers cluster around Peter and Mary as they climb into a cab. They wave and grin as the cab drives away. Now, Jack rehearses on a stage.
I will see you burn in hell.
You'll see me where?
In hell, you heard me.
Yes, and where will you be while I'm burning in hell?
I'll tell you where I'll be, you silly bitch.
He picks up a rope and gun.
I will be in Niagara Falls, that's where.
We see Mary in a sling on Jack's back.
Can you say Michael? Michael?
Now Michael gives her a bath.
Yeah. Can you say Michael? Michael?
She won't understand why you're feeling sad.
Now in a pool full of mothers holding their infants, Peter and Michael take pictures of Jack with Mary.
You don't ever wanna say goodbye.
He frames his underwater camera, and an instructor dunks Mary onto the surface. Underwater, Peter snaps the picture and nods triumphantly. Now in the kitchen, Michael replaces wine bottles in a rack with baby bottles.
One bottle, please, one bottle.
Bottle.
Bottle, please, bottle.
Here it comes.
Michael winds up like a pitcher. Peter sits on a lawn chair outside the kitchen with Mary in his lap. Jack catches the bottle and tosses it to Peter, who misses it time after time after time. On the fourth try, he snags the bottle and pops it in Mary's mouth with a pleased grin. Nighttime in Jack's room.
I know.
In Peter's dark bedroom, Rebecca sits up in bed. Peter and Michael duck into Jack's room.
What's the matter?
She doesn't seem to want to stop crying.
It's not like her.
Michael rubs her back.
Well?
Let's give it a try.
Really?
All three line up on one side of Mary's crib.
Do-do-dee-o-do. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Do-do-dee-o-do. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.
Jack lays Mary down.
Do-do-do-do. I hate to leave you, but I really must say, good night, sweetheart, good night.
The men kneel over her.
Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Baby, I just can't treat you right. Well, I hate to leave you, baby. I don't mean maybe, because I love you so.
In the other room, Rebecca folds up in a giggle.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, but I really must say, good night, sweetheart. Good night.
We glimpse Mary's peaceful pink face as she sleeps. Now, Peter climbs into bed, and Rebecca cuddles up to his shoulder.
I didn't know you sang so well.
Well, you know, it kind of helps her sleep.
Mm.
She looks down into his face.
This is having quite an effect on you. Are you going to have any more kids?
I don't want to talk about it, Rebecca. Good night.
Grinning, they both snuggle back into the pillows.
Peter, I'm having a lot of trouble sleeping. Could you sing to me?
He whomps her with a pillow. He rolls over on top of her in a playful embrace. Morning at the front door.
Thank you. Great.
Rebecca shakes the spit off a nail polish bottle as she takes it from Mary.
Good morning.
A pretty woman with long, curly brown hair steps out of the elevator.
There you go.
Peter puts Mary down, then runs to the door.
Yes.
I'm Sylvia. Mary's mother, I've come to get her.
Peter's smile fades into a dazed stare.
Just a minute.
How is she doing?
She's fine. She's teething. That can be rough.
Pursing his lips, he raises his eyebrows and nods.
Can I see you?
Yeah, sure.
She follows him into the living room. She holds Mary up to the light.
Oh, hello, Mary. Hello, my darling. It's your mummy. Yes, it's your mummy. You're very beautiful. Your hair is growing. You've changed so much, and I've missed it.
Mummy has missed you.
Oh, I never thought I'd miss her this much. Hello.
She kisses Mary's stomach.
No.
Peter looks on solemnly.
Where's my baby? It's Jack here.
I'll get him.
Mary, look how big you've gotten. Oh,
Michael. Michael.
Peter leans over Michael's bed.
Sylvia's here. Mary's leaving.
As Peter leaves the room, a bleary-eyed Michael emerges from under the rumpled jungle print bedspread. Blinking himself awake, he runs a hand through his short, curly hair. In Jack's room, Sylvia sits on one corner of the bed, bouncing Mary on her knees. Jack sits stiffly on the other corner. Adjusting his puffy-sleeved poet's shirt, he smiles.
She looks very happy, Jack. You've obviously taken good care of her.
Jack nods.
Sorry. I shouldn't have left her the way I did. I hope it didn't cause too much trouble.
No trouble at all. Sylvia, there's something I need to know. Is she really mine?
Yes, she is.
She turns Mary on her knee to face him. Jack chews his lip in thought.
So, what are you going to do now? Do you have any idea?
I'm going home. I can't work and take care of Mary on my own, so we're going to move in with my family. They said they'd help.
You're going to London?
She nods hesitantly.
Yeah.
Jack sits with one leg crossed over the other and jiggles his foot. Pressing his left hand over his heart, he stands, breathes deeply, and walks to the window.
When?
Tonight.
To the left, we see a life-sized cutout of Jack in a white tie and top hat.
Is that what you really want to do?
Sorry?
The scene shifts to Michael and Peter in the kitchen, packing two large duffel bags.
You pack all the bottles?
Yeah.
And cans of formula?
You packed them.
Yeah. What about the blender? Maybe we should give her that. Mash up bananas and stuff?
Sure.
And diapers? Pack extra Pampers?
Yeah.
Michael's jaw tenses up.
How can he let her go? If I were Jack, I would not let her go.
Neither would I, Michael. Neither would I. But he's the father. I don't think he wants her to go. But he just can't admit it.
Later, Sylvia carries Mary out the front door of the building, followed by Michael and Jack.
You know, if you want anything at all, you call us, okay?
She'll probably be hungry in an hour. She's a real good eater, so.
Like your daddy.
Some of this stuff's fragile in here.
Okay, I got it. You know, she wakes up in the middle of the night, she likes to be sung to. 50s and 60s music works best.
Thanks, I remember that.
You're all set. Everything's packed. If there's anything else you need, just call us.
Anything.
Thank you.
They all look down at Mary. Then Jack gestures to the cab and Peter opens the door. Jack holds his daughter while Sylvia climbs into the back seat and he hands Mary over. The three men crouch at the window.
Gloucester Hotel, please.
Glad to be here.
I'll ride and let you know how we're doing.
Peter hands Mary her squeaky giraffe.
Oh, darling. Wave goodbye, sweetheart.
Bye, Mary.
Bye, Mary.
Good night, sweetheart, well, it's time to go.
Back in the penthouse, Jack leans his head against the jukebox, mouthing the words to the song.
I hate to leave you, but I...
Peter stares out the window in his room, then crosses to his drafting table. Picking up a black leather tool case, he tosses it out of the way, then moves his white hard hat. Underneath it, his eyes fall on Mary's tiny plastic hard hat. As he gently picks it up and turns it over in his large hands, his eyes well up with tears.
I hate to leave you, I really must. I
The scene shifts to Michael sitting at his drawing table.
Good night. Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Putting down his pen, he stands up and crosses to a television monitor. He turns on a video of himself bouncing Mary on his knee, then returns to his chair to watch. Leaning an elbow on the drawing table, he drops his chin in his hand. Now in Jack's room, he holds up a wind-up crib toy in one hand and a glass of red wine in the other. Picking up a lacy, light blue baby pillow, he sniffs it, then lifts the front of his stretchy cotton sweater and stuffs the pillow inside. Standing at a full-length mirror, Jack rubs his bulging stomach, gazes at his profile, and takes a gulp of wine. Later in the kitchen, Peter empties formula bottles into the sink. Michael packs baby clothes into a cardboard box, and Jack stands drinking his wine.
Guys like us shouldn't be raising kids anyway.
Right.
Well, should we?
I suppose not.
She's better off with her mother. And we are definitely better off now that everything's back to normal. Right?
Whatever you say, Jack.
Right.
Jack stands up and starts to walk away.
So how come I feel so bad?
What'd you say?
How come I feel so bad? I have this ache right here.
He presses his heart.
Well, I don't know. What do you think, Mike? Could be the wine.
It's not the wine.
Well, what is it then?
I don't know. I wish it would go away.
Maybe it's something you ate?
Maybe you're not getting enough sleep. It's not that.
What the hell is it?
I miss Mary.
Michael's eyes light up as he turns to Peter.
Okay. I miss Mary. I just wish there was something I could do.
Well, maybe there is.
What?
When's your flight leaving?
Peter raises his eyebrows. Outside, the three of them burst from the front door of the building.
Yeah, Kennedy!
They pile into the back of a cab. We see it rolling over a dark bridge.
Who are you guys chasing?
My baby girl. Her mother's taking her to London.
Well, yeah, how old?
Seven months.
7 months? That's hard work.
But pretty soon they start to walk. And let me tell you, the first time you hear the word daddy, I don't care who you are, your heart just melts.
Can you drive a little faster, please?
Yeah.
In the back seat, Michael drums his fingers on the seat. Peter checks his watch, and Jack swallows nervously. They pull up to a terminal with large blue letters that read British Airways.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks. Good luck,
guys. As they jump out of the cab, Michael pays the driver, and they all sprint through an open door. Inside the terminal, they run side by side through a wide corridor, passing ticket counters and a gift shop. We glimpse an arrival and departure monitor. It shows the London flight at gate 4 and the words, final call.
4. Gate 4.
Peter steps through a metal detector with Michael and Jack on his heels.
Excuse me, sir. Hold it, fellas, one at a time. Please, one at a time. Hold. Any metal. Put in here, please.
Peter empties his pockets.
Thank you, sir. One at a time. Thank you.
They all hurry through. We look up at them as they plow down a descending escalator, then whirl past a janitor mopping the floor.
Three, four.
Veering right, they jog into an open gate lined with windows and rows of chairs.
This? 176, flight 176.
That's it.
Through the wide floor-to-ceiling windows, we watch a blue and white British Airways plane back away from the terminal. All at once, Jack, Michael, and Peter step forward. Jack glances at his two companions, and they all stop. They stare at the plane until it begins to taxi down the runway. Jack takes a deep, sighing breath and blinks repeatedly. From outside, we look up at them, staring out the window. Jack with his arms crossed, Michael with his thumbs hooked into his belt loops, and Peter with his hands in his pockets. Their chins all drop onto their chests. Then they turn and walk away. Now a cab pulls up outside the apartment building, and the three roommates slowly climb out. From across the street, we watch the three men walk into the building. Then our view glides up the dark facade. In the elevator, Peter and Michael glance briefly at each other, then at the floor. Between them, Jack stands with his arms crossed, staring straight ahead. He shares a quick look with Peter, then with Michael. Returning his gaze to the door, he presses a hand over his heart. The door opens, and they stop in their tracks. In the foyer, a red-eyed Sylvia sits on the floor with Mary.
Sylvia, are you all right? What happened?
We thought you'd gone.
I couldn't go, Jack. I couldn't do it. I don't want to make another mistake. And I knew if I took her away, I'd just be making another mistake. I mean, I have to work. But I can't do that and take care of Mary alone. I mean, do you know what it's like? A one-room flat on your feet all day, working or auditioning, and I'm on the job sometimes until 3 in the morning, and since Mary gets up at 5:30...
Oh, I know.
Well, I mean, you can imagine how much sleep I get.
Yeah, after the 5:30 bottle starts all over again at 9 o'clock. Yeah.
And by the time I change her and play with her a little, it's already 8 o'clock.
Forget about sleeping after that. It's impossible.
And then the babysitter's until 3 in the morning. All my money is sucked down the tubes. And me so tired, I can't take Mary to the park.
Oh, tell me about it. Getting time to take her to park? That's a bitch.
I mean, I love my job, but I sometimes feel like I'm just working to pay the sitters, and I run around all day, and I don't get enough sleep. It's worse, I don't think I'm taking very good care of Mary.
No, of course you aren't.
I am. I mean, I couldn't cope.
Sylvia, we know how hard it is.
Yeah, there's three of us. We could hardly manage.
I don't want to go to London. I want to work in New York, but I can't do that alone. I hope I don't have to. I need help. I need someone to help me.
We'll help. We will help.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I mean, you can leave her anytime you want. We'd love to have her.
Oh, gosh, yeah. When you go for an audition or you go shopping or whatever. You want to be by yourself.
I was hoping you would say that. Thank you.
Really?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
Hold it, guys. I don't think I like this arrangement. I just don't want to be Mary's babysitter. We want to be able to see her all the time, man. I agree. So what are you saying? What do you mean? I'm saying that I think Mary should move in with us permanently. That we should be her family.
Well, I think it's lovely of you to offer, Peter, but I couldn't let Mary.
No, you don't understand. No. You're right, Sylvia. She's your daughter. She needs a full-time mother. That's why we think that you should move in too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, say yeah. Oh, what do you think?
Of course, it's better than four is better than three.
Do you have room?
I'll build your room.
Oh, that's what
I'm saying. Marry her.
Oh,
please say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Gathered on the couch, they all play with Mary, and Peter kisses Sylvia's cheek. The scene dissolves to a new mural on the apartment door. It shows the four new parents, all in white, standing above a baby with upraised arms. Now the door opens, and Sylvia, surrounded by the men, steps into the foyer, pushing Mary in a stroller. She and Jack each pull at a side of the steering bar, and it telescopes out. Now, with a nod, all four grab onto the long bar and push the stroller out of view to the right. A blue streak sweeps across the screen with the words, "The End." Credits roll. Introducing Michelle and Lisa Blair as Mary. Unit production managers David Shepard and Clayton Townsend. Supervising sound editor, Mark Mangini. Music editing, Segway Music. Supervising music editor, Curtis Rausch. Orchestrations by Jack Hayes. Production coordinators, Pat McCurdy and Susan Cavish. Production consultant, Pauline Siroy. Script supervisor, Elaine Varish. Music recorded by Joel Moss at Record Plant Scoring Incorporated. Cast of characters, Tom Selleck as Peter, Steve Guttenberg as Michael, Ted Danson as Jack, Nancy Travis as Sylvia, Margaret Cullen as Rebecca, Philip Bosco as Detective Milkowitz, Paul Guilfoyle as Vince, the short thug, Cynthia Harris as Mrs. Hathaway, Earl Hinsman as Satch, the tall thug, Celeste Holm as Jack's mother, Gary Clar as Detective Number 1, Joe Lynn as Detective Number 2. Songs. The Minute I Saw You, theme from Three Men and a Baby, written by Marvin Hamlisch, David Foster, Carol Bayer Sager, and John Parr. Performed by John Parr, courtesy of Atlanta Recording Corporation. Good Night, Sweetheart, Good Night, written by James Hudson and Calvin Carter. Performed by The Spaniels, courtesy of VJ Records. Conga, written by Enrique E. Garcia. Performed by Miami Sound Machine, courtesy of CBS Records. My Girl, written by William Robinson and Ronald White. Bad Boy, written by Larry Dermer, Joe Galdo, and Raphael Vigil. Performed by Miami Sound Machine, courtesy of CBS Records. Daddy's Girl, written by Mark Goldenberg and Peter Cetera. Performed by Peter Cetera, courtesy of Warner Brothers Records Incorporated. Prince by Deluxe. Lenses and cameras by Panavision. Re-recorded at Todd A.O. Glen Glen Studios. Copyright 1987, Touchstone Pictures. All rights reserved. This program has been described for visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, a service of the WGBH Educational Foundation. Descriptions read by Peter Haydu. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution Incorporated.